This is Mark Jones on Rebel Radio. This is how I'm going to say it. I'm not going to fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio. I'm your host, Josh Levine. If you listened last week, I mentioned that I've been traveling throughout Europe for the last month or so, and I was able to spend some time in London. I caught up with my man, Mark Jones, who's my guest this week. Mark is the founder of Wall of Sound Records, a longtime player in the dance music scene in London. He's worked with so many important artists over the years, from Basement Jaxx, Propeller Heads, Royksopp, Human League, a new record from the Lisbon Kid. The man doesn't stop, he keeps going. He's also the host of the Back to the Future radio show, which used to be on BBC Six and is now available on Soho Radio. And he also hosts a series of live events in London called Question Mark, where he talks to 80s artists about how the business has changed and how that's affected them. He's had guests like Nick Hayward from Haircut 100, Paul Humphries from OMD, Steve Norman from Spandau Ballet. If you don't know these people, you are too young. But get up on it. Mark, man, Mark's a trip. This interview is all over the place. You'll see I lost control pretty much from the beginning, and then we end up just having fun with it. But I found a quote on Mark's Facebook page that said, people shouldn't hesitate to exert their all. And I think that's a good illustration of what Mark's all about. This dude is pure creativity. We get into just how he's, you know, he's one with the art and the creative side of what he does. I get the sense he's maybe not too much for the business side, but this dude is all creative, and he creates an environment for the artists that's really safe for them to do what they do. So he's got some great stories that he shares in this interview. I hope you enjoy it. We're going to get into that right after the EDM.com track of the week.
I know you want it.
That was our EDM.com track of the week. That was Colonel and Classical with a track called Want It. I hope you dug that, and I hope you stick around for our interview with Mark Jones. All right, so start me at the beginning.
Okay.
And
right, here we are.
For music guy.
For a music guy.
Tell me the first record you ever bought.
That's very interesting that you should say that.
Mm.
Because I do ask that on my radio show. And I do ask people that all the time. What was the first record I ever bought?
Mm.
Well, the first record I ever bought was The Monkees.
Okay.
And a compilation album of the Monkees.
Yeah.
When I was very young.
Yeah.
Take the last train to Foxville and I'll meet you at the station.
station. You can be here by 4:30, cause I've made your reservation. Don't be slow.
Because of the TV show, yeah, and sure. I was obsessed with that, and a little bit, you know, it was one of those.
So the Monkees are amazing because, you know, we live in this era now of American Idol and all that, whatever.
American Idol.
All of those shows, right? Of
this, not go there, please.
All right.
Please not. Let's not go there. You mean American Idol?
Well, what I mean is that we live in this era now.
But that has taken all of the creativity away from music.
I know. We're getting to that.
Because it's about, you know, young people thinking it's about fame.
Yeah.
And they put me live on the BBC
yeah.
with somebody called Simon Cowell.
So I've heard.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, because we are polar opposites in the music industry.
Okay, wait, I want to get to that.
I told you that.
I want to start with you, right? So, so you bought the Monkees, but what was the first music that you felt like?
Well, my brother was into rock and reggae.
Yeah.
So you go the opposite direction of what your brother, older brother, is into.
Mm.
So I went electronic, and I got my mum and dad to buy me a Yamaha CS-01 synthesizer from their Grattan's catalog. And sat in my bedroom and just made noises. But obviously had Debbie Harry from Blondie all over my bedroom walls.
Nice.
So I went to sleep with her and woke up with her in the morning.
Very cool.
So I just used to sit up there and make noises and shapes and sounds.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into music. So obviously, you know, the Human League and everything else.
Sure.
Electronically.
Yeah. And then how did you come to, when did it become a career?
Well, it was very interesting because I was in a supermarket and the girl on the till said, who I just bought some stuff for my mum and dad, and then the girl on the till said, my boyfriend tells me that you have a synthesizer. And I said, what? And so we hooked up and I joined a band, or we created a first band called Red Box, which was way back in the mid 80s, early 80s. So never trust your soul. Yeah, and we got signed to Polar Records. Paul Oakenfold was the A&R person there, and we had a single out called Never Trust Your Soul.
Okay.
And then it evolved from there. So then I created Perfect Day, which is the band that I was in.
Yeah. Was that the path then? You were going to be an artist?
Well, that was it then. I mean, obviously, you know, we had four singles out and there were girls sleeping in my mum and dad's front garden in a tent.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. We had some records in the charts and stuff, but the album never got released. But there's videos up and stuff. The band was called Perfect Day.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time feeling like I've got something, like this can be
a thing? Creatively.
Yeah, or even like that sign of success.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had some records in the charts and stuff, and as I said, there were girls sleeping in my mum and dad's front garden. We were on TV a lot, and there were covers of magazines.
Yeah.
Which I found the other day.
Oh, no way.
Yes. I found these the other day because we're moving house.
Cool. Jackie.
Nice. You remember that?
No.
You don't?
I don't know.
Just 17?
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, no. I mean, it was just funny. But then when, because London Records we were signed to, they never released the album. And so we were dropped. And then I just wanted to learn about the other side of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was fascinated. And before I formed the band, I used to do the visuals at all the acid house clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
So somebody used to sell records at the parties. Mm-hmm. And I just said to him, look, you know, I want to learn about this. So he had a company called Soul Trader, which was a distribution company. And I just said, I want to learn about the other side of the industry. So I went to work for him a couple of days a week. And then, you know, found bands and we'd press their vinyl and, you know, got the records out there.
And so, was there.
So I found the first, you know, I pressed the first Basement Jacks record and found lots of other new bands. And then I just said to him one day, okay, I really want to start a record label. Can we do that? So we did a compilation called Give 'Em Enough Dope. And that was the first release on Wall of Sound.
Nice. What year was that?
1994.
Hmm. So was there a, like a plan for all of this, or was it just
It was just one of those things. It was just I wanted to learn about the other side of the industry, because obviously, you know, we were dropped and everything else. So, but creatively, my brain was still going on, and I never, you know, I didn't. I just wanted to, you know, certain electronic music had got very stagnant then and not creative in any way, shape, or form, because dance music had become this thing. So I wanted to throw everything in the mix. So we did that, and, you know, lazy journalists didn't know what to call it. So they want it in a box. So when we threw everything in the mix, they want to put it somewhere. So they called it Big Beat and Trip Hop. And then every record we released on the label, it was, oh, it's Big B, oh, it's Big B. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is new music.
Yeah.
It's creative new music.
Yeah.
So I started three other labels at a point. We Love You, which was for bands and guitars. A hip-hop label called Bad Magic. And a dance label called New Camp. And then just ran them for 5 or 6 years and then said, right, Wall of Sound could be anything now. Do you understand that?
I think people have trouble understanding that. I think we want those kind of labels to sort of point us in the right direction,
Well, yeah, but it's a funny one, but obviously I've found some fantastic artists that have gone on to be, you know, very big now.
Yeah.
And released some great records. Have you seen the compilation that came out?
No.
No. Well, there's the 21 years of Wall of Sound.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Rebel Radio is supported by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. They make it easy for you to prepare incredible meals at home with meat, seafood, produce that comes from sustainable sources. They deliver just the right amount for each recipe, so there's no food waste. And they make it pretty easy to have a great meal for under $10 a person. It's fast, convenient, affordable, and it's delicious. We've been doing it here. Well, Christy's been doing most of it, but I got in there a little bit, cooked up a couple meals. And it's great. In under 40 minutes, we're eating. We're having a great time cooking together. Highly recommend you check it out. And if you're the type of person that gets bored, there's new recipes every week, and they never repeat the same meal in a year. So it works out pretty nicely. Check out this week's menu, and you get your first three meals free with free shipping just because you're a Rebel Radio listener. So go to blueapron.com/rebel. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/rebel. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So, now obviously, and I want to come back to what where you don't want to talk about.
What? But, they say never work with your heroes, but I just thought, F that. Yeah. So I did the last album with Grace Jones and the last album with the Human League.
Nice. It's great. No, I was going to say, like, so, you know, you've been doing this and the business has changed, so fundamentally.
Yes.
And, you know, I think back to what we're talking about, right? Like, there's, you know, there's this idea of that everything is data driven, that, you know, that TV can be the place that new music, you know, is discovered on these competition shows, right? All this stuff, right? So, you know, I see you as the opposite end of that, that it's pure, you know, it's pure creativity and it's pure, like, you know, this world, you've helped to create this world. Mm. It's just part of you.
Yeah.
So how do you adapt to the way that the industry's changing, or do you?
It's very interesting times trying to run a record label now compared to what it used to be.
I'm sure.
But you just have to adapt to it and go through it all and try and keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's trying to make a book and a documentary on the Wall of Sound.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Which should be finished on in a couple of years.
Nice.
For the 25-year anniversary. Mm. And then maybe we'll see where we go from there. But you have to adapt and you've got to move on.
Have there been times, I mean, I know there's countless challenges that come up, as you said. You know, when have you felt like you want to just pack it in? And how do you push through that?
Just being... giving artists the platform that they need, and that's what it was. I've never wanted to ever change an artist. Mm. And if I see something creative or interesting to me, then I always just want to give that person the platform that they need.
Yeah, can you think of an example of that?
Well, it's been every artist I've ever signed. So, and you know, they've all been different. Do you know what I mean? And just be who they are, not somebody else. And that's what my issue is with the TV thing as well, because it's, you know, the creativity from that perspective has disappeared.
Sure. Yeah, it seems like that there's a specific vision in mind of what a successful artist is, and they're looking to shape that.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's probably, I mean, that's not for me, either the show or the music that comes out of those shows. But,
right.
But I think there's probably a lane for that where... you know, some people want that.
You're driving the fast lane.
I guess. I think there is a lane for that, but I think it's that overshadows the other stuff, right? The people that are just pure creativity and they're just, you know, being who they are. And,
yeah.
Right, and I feel like music needs that.
Well, it always needs that. But, you know, obviously the DIY access, you know, with music now, of recording and everything else has put certain things into perspective, but let's see.
Yeah. So what do you look for then if it's not a particular genre, a particular sound, if it's not...
I just look for something original and different. And, you know, that's what I've always felt, you know, in somebody who is being themselves.
Yeah.
And not somebody else.
Yeah. And yet I think it's such a, I don't want to call it a numbers game, but it's a, I think our
clicks,
I think
likes.
Our culture is so risk averse now.
Yeah.
Right? That we want to be able to predict everything. We have the ability to predict so much more than we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so I think not just music, but I think society in general, we want to know the answers before we get the questions. And so, you know, do you have to combat that in your own life?
In a way, certain things, but I just don't want to even think about that. It's all about the clicks and the likes, and obviously, you know, if you're taking music to radio now, and they're very age demographic, genreized,
sure.
and just, you know, they'll check on the clicks and the likes.
Mm-hmm. Is that stuff helpful at all, or is it just all bullshit?
I just don't even want to think about it.
No. What's good about where music is at right now?
What's good? Well, it always goes cyclically around as well. So, you know, with that other thing, it's people react against that. So mm-hmm. you have different generations of, you know, and like I said before, you know, generations of, you know, want to go the opposite way to what their older brother or sister is mm-hmm. and does.
Yeah.
So, and it's all cyclical.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure it will come around again.
So are there lessons you took from, you know, you've been involved in so many different areas, right? From clubs to making music to the label side.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from being a performer that then helped you in the rest?
Well, that's, you know, like I said before, or I don't know if I said before, but I didn't tell anybody about me being in a band.
Mm.
And then a couple of the artists found something and freaked out. And they were like, what? You were in a band? But then they understood that I knew what they were going through as an artist.
Yeah.
And it's helped my relationship through the years with artists.
Yeah.
So...
Because you can put yourself in their shoes.
Well, yeah. Well, it's you know, I've understood through the years what it's like to be an artist. So, you know, and that's helped my relationship with artists, because understanding what they're going through and, you know, the creative side of things and how you just, you know, when you have music out there, what you have to do to promote and other stuff. But it's changed a lot now, obviously, because of the online thing. But
so how does that change your job? Like, it seems like in the old days, you know, this is oversimplifying, but you find an act that you like and you get them in the studio and you make the record and the rest, I don't want to say it takes care of itself, but it feels like compared to that now, you probably have to create a whole vision for this artist and how it gets marketed and all of that.
Well, and I always say to somebody or the new artist, do something different.
Yeah.
Because that will get you, you know, awareness of stuff, and you know, if we do something alternative in the beginning
mm-hmm.
and it captures people's imagination, then you know, it gets you noticed.
Yo, if you haven't already, get over to worlds.us, that's worldz.us, sign up to attend the Worlds conference. I guess it's not exactly a conference, but something like that. You'll learn from the masters. They have the CEO of iHeartMedia, the CMOs of Samsung, of MasterCard, a lot of leading brands, people that are shaping business and culture as we know it. Sean White, Kelly Slater, all those guys will be up on stage speaking. And it's like a couple day long event here in Los Angeles at the end of July, beginning of August. I'll be there, so we'll get to hang out in person. And because you're a Rebel Radio listener, they're going to give you $200 off if you use the code Rebel Radio when you sign up for Worlds. So make sure you do that. And if you do, hit me with a note so we can make sure and meet up in person. Who's doing something different right now that you like?
There's a few people that I like. Oh, I don't know. Lots of the artists on my label.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I guess what,
well,
I'm
Killer Floor
are
a great band.
Yeah.
But, and they've not really been recognised. But I created the new genre for America.
Okay.
As well.
What is that?
RDM.
RDM.
Have you not heard of it?
Please.
It's amazing.
Yeah?
Have you not heard of RDM?
Enlighten us.
Okay, then. Rocktronic dance music.
Okay.
Because we've been combining guitars and electronics
yeah.
together for a long time, but it never got recognized in America. But now, because of the EDM, so I've created RDM, Rocktronic Dance Music.
So, and who are the artists?
Killer Floor.
Okay.
Who have been described as Led Zeppelin meets the Chemical Brothers.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Have you not heard of them?
No.
No.
I'm right. not going to keep it.
Well, no, I mean, and people are saying I should do an RDM tour of America, of Route 66, because obviously now people are on the evolvement of EDM and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. You know, like I said, bands have been combining guitars and electronics for a long time, but it's never been taken seriously over there.
Sure. Yeah. That's cool. I think that's interesting because I think, you know, I mean, you were talking about it earlier, how hip-hop got really kind of excited about EDM.
Yeah.
Because of the production side. But I think, you know, it really wasn't, for us, for the U.S., it really wasn't until Skrillex, right, who was a rock guy.
Yeah.
Who also created a very rock show.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, I think that was the catalyst to get, you know, like, if you want to really move America, America's a bunch of frat guys. Right? Not our culture, right? And we've grown up but it's always been subculture, right? It's always been, you know, the stuff that we're involved in can only ever get so big.
Yeah.
But if you want to really impact the masses, you have to be, you got to be played at a football game. You know, and that's like...
You mean soccer or football?
No, American football. Right? Like, you know, you have to be, because that's where we get 100,000 people to, like...
I know.
To move to the same song. And so that's... So it's got to be this sort of rock and roll experience.
Mm.
Yeah?
Okay.
You disagree?
Well, you know, well, the EDM explosion is crazy there now, isn't it?
It is. I think it's not, you know, I think it's 2 years ago was the peak of it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Around and round.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I remember, as you do, for me it's always interesting because, you know, in the late 90s when it was Chemical Brothers and Moby and...
Propellerheads and
all of that, right? Like, Fatboy Slim. You know, as far as I knew, that was the biggest... Like, that was as big as anything else.
Yeah.
Right? But it wasn't really... It was kind of big for, like, this underground thing. It was kind of just cracking through.
Well, it never got played on daytime radio there, like I said, because, it, you know... But... It had organic sounds, and it got, you know, and it sold some albums.
Yeah, exactly. But then I think, you know, I think more the last cycle is where it really fully became mainstream.
Yeah. Totally.
It's so. How do you kind of understand the differences around the world?
What, in different locations?
Yeah.
What, genre-wise?
Yeah, just like what, you know, I mean, what dance music has meant here is so different than what it means in the U.S.
At the moment.
Yeah, but I think, you know...
Well, it's all evolution, and different countries react in different ways, and,
I mean,
I'd
Zen Freeman was on the show a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he's, you know, Zen...
Yeah.
So, you know, he talked about just growing up as a teenager here and having Sasha and Paul on the radio and, like, being inspired to be a DJ from hearing those guys on the radio, right? Mm. And that led him down a certain path, and I think that kind of thing just can't really happen in the U.S.
Oh, well, it's different because it's such a big country as well, and you've got those regional areas of...
Yeah.
Content or discontent.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for you, I imagine you focus on the certain spots where it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you how do you stay motivated now to discover new music? We're at a certain age where we're not.
That's a good question. Well, exactly. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Since all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
No, not. I just am too old now to go out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, it's one of those. But.
So what do you do? How do you?
It's always been about breaking windows for me, and like, you know, bringing something through that, you know, has never been heard before. But I mean, it's not easy when you're kind of club scene wise, when you don't go out now, and
yeah.
But obviously, you know, the DJ euphoria and party thing has gone a little bit different because of the creativity of non-music.
Sure. Yeah. So how do you stay connected?
Well, just in different ways, really. Just people and, you know, I read a lot.
Yeah.
Magazine-wise, but... but it's... I don't know. I mean, you have to just move on and groove on, basically.
Mm. Okay.
All right, if you're digging this one, let's go back into Rebel Radio Archives. Check out my interview. You can find it on iTunes or SoundCloud with Mr. C. He's the lead singer, or rapper, rather, of The Shaman, which was kind of an early hip house act. And then he was also an owner of The End Nightclub, which was one of London's legendary clubs. It's more good house music stories from London in that episode, but finish up here first with my man Mark Jones.
Have there been mentors that have been important to you throughout your
mentors
career? Yeah, people that taught you stuff, or you figured
you know, electronically when it all kicked off, I mean, obviously Daniel Miller of Mute Records.
Okay.
He was an inspiration, and I did actually call him up and said, look, I'm a real Depeche Mode fan. I want to follow them around Europe.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. So
really?
he got me on the list in Germany. So I followed them around Germany.
Yeah.
And that was quite interesting.
Yeah, I bet.
And obviously the whole electronic that Daniel, you know, the thing that Daniel did there with that was great.
What did you take from that experience?
What did I take from that experience? Well, it's just learning, and it was December 1983.
Oh, shit.
So
I mean, that takes balls to just call up a guy and
ask
if you can go on tour.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, where does that come from?
I don't know. I just didn't, you know, I just really wanted to be there. But yeah. Anyway, this is funny. It took balls.
Huh?
Yeah, I have balls, man.
Is that,
have you got the balls?
Is that a good idea? Like, if you, I don't know if you could, if you, you know, talk to students or whatever, like, just kind of go for it.
Yes, well, that's, you know, one of my points is that be yourself, don't be somebody else, and move on.
Yeah. Do you find there's pressures to be somebody else, aren't there?
Yeah.
So is that how do you handle that? Is it a conscious thing? Is it a conscious, like, conversation with yourself?
No.
Or does it just...
No, I've never been... I am who I am.
Yeah.
I've never been someone else.
Yeah. Do you have to, like... Not everybody can just do that.
No.
Right?
Well, you know. That's what, you know, if you asked me one of those questions, it was... That was one of my answers.
I understand that.
Be yourself. Yeah. Don't be someone else.
What do you think is the most, the decision you've made that's had the biggest impact?
What's the best decision?
Sure.
Well, you know, starting the record label, but and also, you know, being in the band, which was, you know, gave me that other confidence of doing things. But what's the best decision I've ever made? Mm. Signing the Propeller Heads, signing Royxop.
Yeah. What's next?
What do you mean?
For you, what's the...
what's next?
What's the next goal?
What's the next goal? Well, I've signed a great band called Perfect Day.
Okay.
So getting that album out would be interesting. But no, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, just moving on and getting there and getting the documentary finished and, getting to the 25 years, maybe, which is in 2 years.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And move on.
And what does that mean?
You have to evolve and, you know, just keep this going. And obviously I've got some new artists now who are great. I've just did the Lisbon Kid album, which is Rui Da Silva, who had a number one record.
Yeah.
And Danny De Matos, and that's a cool album. And there's a few others as well.
When you say you have to evolve, like, is that a... Does it just happen?
Well, you have to move on and groove on, as I said before, but it's one of those where you have to take things on the head and take things, you know what I mean, and just deal with them and in the right way.
So do you find yourself, do you ever say, I can't do this because I've already done it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
This is a good question.
Mm. Yeah. I just wonder if that's like a... Is it a conscious thing, or does it just happen naturally? Do you get bored?
Do I get bored? Do I get bored doing what?
Like, are you, like, you know, do you find yourself in, I don't know if it's a record or something where you're like, I'm bored with this. I've already, this feels too familiar.
No, I've never been bored with something. You know, everything I've always ever tried to help and release of is things that inspire me, and you know what I mean. I've never been boring.
Okay.
Have you?
Me? Yeah, I get bored. I can't do the same thing over and over.
Right. No, I've never done that. So.
Yeah. So maybe it doesn't.
That's the point.
Yeah. We were talking about creativity. Are there things you do that help you, like, tap into creativity or, you know, get past blocks?
Well, it's just, you know, what side your brain works, isn't it?
Mm.
From that perspective. But I always just try and keep the freedom of imagination. And that's really important.
Yeah.
And hearing stories of other people's inspiration, which is what I do on the radio show, the Back to the Future radio show, which I have, which was on Six Music for ages, and now it's on Soho Radio.
Oh, cool.
And it's artists coming in and telling their story and playing the music that made them do what they do.
Yeah.
So, and it's really interesting to hear what inspirations you get from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I talk about that a lot on this show with, there's a danger, I think, for creative people of letting in the wrong inspirations?
Danger, danger, high voltage.
Yeah, something like that. right, that you, I think as an artist, you have to keep certain influences out.
Yeah. Yeah, and it not revealing everything, I think, is the most important part.
Yeah. Do you mean like otherwise it just sounds like it's just a copy?
Well, yes, or, you know, not revealing it either.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, not telling anybody. What inspired you?
Why?
I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. Hey, I want to do a lightning round.
Huh? A lightning round?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm going to tell you. Oh, one more first. Why do you think artists enjoy working with you?
I don't know. You should ask them that question. I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay.
But you should ask them. I don't know. Maybe it's something different, but
yeah.
I'm sure certain artists will say the other direction. Or go the other direction.
Sure. I get it. Okay. So if you can go back to 18 and give yourself one piece of advice, what would you say?
What would I say to myself as 18?
Mm.
Keep on keeping on, listen and learn.
Okay. What talent have you always wished you had more of?
Me personally?
Mm.
Well, I mean, sad to say, but I think that sometimes I just wish on the structure side of things and the practical side of things that I had more, a little bit more balance of that.
Give me an example.
Just the structural side of you know, making things happen in a certain way, and you know, I've never been a practical side of business. I've always been the creative side. Mm-hmm. So maybe be an accountant or a lawyer.
Okay. Well, maybe that's, so if you could do something else, not music,
whoa,
what would you do?
What would I do?
Let's say you could do anything and you would, you're guaranteed to be successful. But it can't be music.
I don't know. Maybe be on a TV presenter.
Okay.
Or, I mean, people are saying that at the moment. They're saying that the question mark talks I do, which should be a TV show. So that might evolve.
Nice.
And now.
Yeah.
Yeah, question mark. I do these question mark talks.
Yeah.
And they're a panel of four people, and I ask them questions they don't want to get answered. Oh, they don't want to answer. That's sorry. And it's all been music industry orientated up until this point, but now people are saying it should go into different areas.
Sure.
But yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's, yeah.
What's
it's called question like, mark.
Yeah. Clever. What's a question that somebody doesn't want to answer? Like, give me a.
What's been I don't know. I mean, it obviously depends on who the panelists are and what the subject is at the moment. But I mean, it's been different.
Has there been anyone that stands out that's been like?
There's been a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the last one I did was a big Back to the Future one, which was a big four name 80s artists and stuff.
Cool.
And telling their story and going through that, but it's all been, you know, music industry orientated to this point, but I mean, I've done lots of people, but you know, but yeah, I think that should evolve.
That's cool. So if I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
if you worked for me. Yeah. That would be quite interesting. Do you want a job?
I might. I think wife would love to move to London, so.
Really?
Yeah, but we've only been here in June, so it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we can handle the rest of it. We can't handle anywhere in the world most of the year.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What would you hear from me? What time is it?
Okay.
Who's my next meeting?
Yeah.
Can you make me a cup of coffee? I think that would be it now.
Okay. That's good.
Did you get the coffee in?
What?
Where's the coffee?
What do you
Where's
say
the to... coffee? Okay.
What do you say to motivate people?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, you should ask them again. But what do I say to motivate people? I don't know. It depends who they are and what they're doing and where they stand. And
sure.
You know, it wouldn't be the same thing to everybody.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But as I said before, and I've said a few times, be who you are. Mm-hmm. Don't be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that really motivates people to do what they do. Mm-hmm. And not do something else.
Who would you be most excited to learn as a fan of your work?
Really?
Yeah.
Who would I most be excited? Right. Well, obviously my two sons.
Okay.
George and Stanley.
Okay.
Yes, that would be great if they would be excited.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Most of the artists on the label.
I imagine many of them are fans of your work.
Well, some of them are, some of them aren't, but sure. You know, it's one of those. Yeah. The practical side of things has hit a few relationships, but no, it's one of those.
Cool. What's your favorite city to travel to?
That's a good question. I mean, I did love New York a while, and then when you get to a certain point, because we did a lot of things there, and then when you get to a certain point and age, LA becomes much more of the appealing fact of America.
Yeah.
But island wise, Ibiza.
Oh, yeah.
And Ibiza Town.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, and I mean, and Jamaica and Iceland. So, because I've done a thing called Good Vibrations, which is why Jamaica, Ibiza, and Iceland vibrate creatively and musically, and other islands don't.
Interesting.
Yeah. And everyone's saying it should be a TV show.
Why Iceland?
Well, have you ever been there?
No, no.
You've never been there. Well, think of the creative music that has come out of Iceland.
Yeah.
And then the creative amount of artists that are just fantastic. So yeah, if you think about that, I mean, and when you go there is a vibration on the island. And you know, like I said before, I was never really into reggae, but then Chris Blackwell, who ran Island Records, flew me to Jamaica.
Yeah.
He wanted to buy a wall of sound back in the day. And I got off the plane and I just felt this energy and vibration that I'd never felt before, only in Ibiza. So, you know, and it's one of those.
Cool. That's cool.
That was a good one, wasn't it? That was a good one.
Love it. And now we have WOW that can take us to Iceland.
Yeah. WOW. You should go there.
We almost went on this trip.
Really?
Yeah, because LA, WOW has this deal, right? It's a super cheap flight.
My friend owns it, so you can get it free.
Okay. Well, she will fly us up to Iceland.
So from LA to London, but you stop in Reykjavik.
Right.
And you can spend the night.
You should go there, man. If you've not been there, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And there is an energy.
It's high on the list.
Very creative.
Yeah.
Everyone's an artist, a musician, or doing something.
Cool.
So you're welcome to stay at my flat if you're homeless.
See that? We're hooked up. I love it. What's the last great book you read?
I can't remember, but can you ask me this question
a bit? Or is there a book that's had a major impact on you?
Well, I've read a lot of, SGI books now because I'm a practicing SGI Buddhist.
Yeah.
Do you know SGI?
Lotus Sutra, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that. That's so weird.
We have it on the show. I told you my wife went to SGI for a bunch of years.
This is so funny. Yeah, the Lotus Sutra. I was just about to say that.
Cool. It's awesome.
I love this connection. This is so funny, man.
What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
Well, there's been a few, but, oh gosh, memory. yeah. Let me have a think about that. I mean, carry-ons. Let me have a think. Movie.
Is there for me, it's always there's certain movies that when you're flipping the channels, or when we used to flip channels, you would just see it and you would just stop on it, even though you've seen it, 100 times.
Mm.
You might see it from the middle on, whatever.
Mm. Let me have a think about that.
All right. Who's your favorite DJ of all time?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, my favorite DJ of all time? That's a good question. Probably Danny Rampling and DJ Pierre, who first brought Acid House into this place.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, obviously Danny did Shum and I did the visuals at Shum and everything. And DJ Pierre, yeah, I mean, obviously at the time it was revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Balearic thing was just crazy.
Yeah.
And Alfredo from Ibiza.
Mm.
And I have to say, my current wife, DJ Lottie.
Mm.
Do you know her?
By name.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she's my wife.
Nice.
So, DJ Lottie.
Cool. Nice one.
Mm.
Thanks for doing this.
That's okay. That's great. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, that was Mark Jones, not Mike Jones. Great stories. I loved it. Like I said, I hope you enjoyed that wild ride. And I hope you leave us a comment on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Well, don't leave us a comment on YouTube. YouTube comments are stupid, but you know what I'm talking about. You can find us online pretty much everywhere at Rebel Radio Net. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.